Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening. Today, we want to pay tribute to a friend of the community and a philanthropist that has impacted so many lives, not just in the Pearl Jam fan base, but many other fan bases in rock and roll music. There are so many people in our community that go out of their way to do something special because it's for love of the people here, it's for love of the band, and it's inspired from actions that the band has taken from the very, very beginning in their career. You have people out there that raise money for charities, for organizations like Diabetes UK that the Scotland group does, and then you have other people that do certain things just for fans, just like our friend Tanya Kang, who goes to shows and takes photos of people holding up their favorite Pearl Jam quotes. That's stuff that, for the labor of love and the desire to be a part of this community and do something greater, it's all about giving back to the people that you know that you share such a unique common bond towards. Tom Pugh started Giving Alive with a mission on helping people who've dealt with challenges throughout their lives and don't have the means to be going to live shows as frequently as some other Pearl Jam fans or music fans do. He's done so much for people inside the Pearl Jam community and outside the Pearl Jam community that has inspired hope. It has given them one special moment to look back on life and think, if I'm in this position, dealt a hand in life that I didn't necessarily want to be dealt, that for one day you can forget about all the challenges that you face and just embrace in live music and the live music experience. Not only did Tom bring those fans to shows, he gave them a true experience. Things like making sure they got signed posters from bands, making sure they got custom posters made by artists from all around the industry, making sure in some occasions that they got to meet the band or got messages from the band. Anything to make these people matter. And he used that as a tagline, because you matter. He wanted to make people feel good at the place where you should feel your best at a live concert. He was dedicated to his mission and made it his life's work over the past handful of years. And unfortunately, this past weekend, Tom passed away unexpectedly. We want to celebrate his life and celebrate the amazing things that he accomplished by helping others, because if we can strive to do at least half of what he did, the world would be a much better place. When Tom used to say, because you matter, and that meant something to him, for Tom, he mattered. He mattered to everyone that he gave a lifetime experience to, from people that couldn't afford to do so on their own means. It's a special, intangible quality, and today we want to pay tribute to the man who made it all work out and made it all happen. Back in the summer of 2020, I was fortunate enough to get together with him over a Zoom call and have a conversation about what he did with Given Alive, some of the stories that have been passed down, and some of the experience that he's lent to others, and even a little bit about his own past and personal life. So, in tribute to him, I wanted to share these stories with you because they matter. So here, please listen to the interview. And then after the interview, I'll come back and introduce another story from somebody that he helped attain an experience of a lifetime. Take a listen.
Just tell us a little bit how you got started with this.
The short story is a long story. Back in 13, I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan, and a lot of what we do is kind of because of the Pearl Jam community and what have you. And at that point, I think all Pearl Jam fans were thinking, well, that one show at Wrigley was going to be a one-off. You know, and I desperately wanted to go, but it was summer. The flights were just absurd. The hotels were absurd. And it was one show. What the hell was the point in spending a fortune for one show? So I thought, no. And I went off to I was going to a shamanic workshop in Sweden, and I was on a bus, and a live came on my headphones, and I broke down. And at that point, it was about seven years since I died from an overdose and was brought back by somebody who was in the room. Otherwise, yeah, Wow. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, and that moment, instead of this, I just broke down. I've heard live now, you know, hundreds, possibly even thousands of times, but it went from that logical thing of, yes, I'm alive and I haven't used drugs at that point or drank for 7 years, to it really being a body experience of, I need to celebrate this. I need to honor actually having gone through that, having got off drugs, this, that, and the other, rather than just going, yeah, I stopped, you know. And I was like, what do I love doing? I love traveling. I love Pearl Jam. And they had a tour in the fall. The one show in Oakland fell on my birthday. I was like, let's do a little road trip. I did 5 shows. That 5th show, got there super early because it was my birthday. I wanted to go at the front. And we hadn't been there long when we started hearing these rumors that a young woman had been ripped off. And more information came in. And what had happened is someone who had posed as security had said, no, you don't want to be queuing here. You want to be queuing there. And there was out of sight of cameras and everything. And mm-hmm. as soon as her friend went off to the loo, he came and ripped off her bag. And she was, you know, hooking up with strangers and what have you. So she had everything on her. She lost credit cards, tickets, money.
Oh, no.
Anything you can think of was gone, the value. And she, you know, and she had a few friends from South America that she was texting throughout the day. And we were getting little reports. But she comes back 3-4 in the afternoon from the Brazilian consulate and the local police with all she got was a piece of paper from the consulate saying you can leave the country. And I was there early enough to be first in line, you know, and I said, you know, and I kind of put my foot down and I said, this woman's going in front, you know, I don't give a shit, excuse my language. What people, if you like it or not, what she's gone through today, she was here to queue, she's been screwed over, she and her friend are having the first 2 spots, you know. And I was at the San Diego show and was meant to meet someone from Facebook who got really sick, you know, not like a flu, but like a, you know, a real, I mean, flu's a real illness, but you know what I mean. And she couldn't make it. And so that was in my head. I met someone in the queue early in the day who sort of mentioned they knew someone who did something for kids, just for kids, you know, taking kids concerts, you know. Mm-hmm. And this woman comes back, and I had this idea to go to the merch truck, not for the poster, which I was heartbroken about because it was the four-eyed cowboy, which, you know, and it was my birthday. I wanted a killer poster. I just couldn't buy. I tried so hard, but I went there to get, you know, but I wanted the tube because I wanted to do a collection for her. Mm-hmm. So I went down the GA line and, you know, told people, and the great thing is that you guys have dollar bills, we have pound coins. So if, you know, it would have been a real head, she would have immediately picked up and it would have been like, this is really heavy, this is weird. But because it was bills and people were pulling in dollars, fives, tens, twenties, and she opened up the thing and she was like, oh God, I haven't even thought about the poster. And she thought I was just giving her a poster, you know. She opened up and it was stuffed with green.
You know, oh really, my goodness.
It was a beautiful thing. She wrote a sign saying thanks to the faithful and looking after me. I got mugged. And because she, I think whether it was Ed misread it or because of the way she wrote it being Brazilian, Ed was like, you've been mugged in the arena? Fucking hell. And then we were going, no. It was outside. and I did that trip and, you know, it was a gift to myself, as I said, to honor and celebrate, you know. And I came back and I sort of asked a few friends in the, you know, in the community that I knew, and I said, hey, what about this as an idea? Let's try and help Pearl Jam fans who can't go to shows. Oh, what a great idea. And me being me, I was like, kind of like, yeah, that's great. And I was like, no, you're either in or out. You don't, you know, do it a quiet thing on the, you know, a little thing on the side and hope for the best. And I thought, right. So I did, you know, thought about it. And that would have been, you know, the thinking process took a couple of months. And then I handed in my notice where I was working before and decided, nope, this is going to be the real thing. It's not going to be Pearl Jam. It's not going to be quite, you know, just a little thing done on a message board. Dave wants to go to a show. Let's do that. It's going to be real. And if someone wanted to see Slipknot, which are beside, I mean, Eddie and Pearl Jam combined are our most requested, but as an individual, Slipknot are our most requested band.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. No,
it's good live shows. So yeah,
I never would have, whatever it is, 5-6 years ago, you asked me, I'd have never, I told you that never. You know, I thought they were a small, I actually genuinely thought they were a small cult band until we got an application. and then I had to read into it, and I'm like, they're huge. Oh, my God.
There's, you know, nothing small about Slipknot, including the members of the band. There's about, oh, I don't know, six Pearl Jams in Slipknot almost.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
so many
yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah.
Five There's drummers, whatever they have.
Yeah, yeah, there's a and they sort of two of the drummers just basically batter beer kegs,
right?
And we actually, and as I said, they are most requested, but the second guy we took was a young fella, Declan. He was 17 at the time, with autism, horribly bullied for being different. And I got a phone call from his mum 2 Fridays ago that he'd taken his own life. And you know, it's kind of every, I can tell you bits about every single show, and we've done probably 60 or so, and there are so many bits about that show for so many different reasons that I can tell. I mean, he got a 40-minute meet and greet with Corey, which is unheard of, you know. Wow. But there were just the little things of him about to explode because we were in the wrong seats, you know, because somebody sat in one of our seats. So, you know, that autistic thing kicked in. We should be in 7, 8, 9, and 10, but we're in 8, 9, 10, and 11. And 10 minutes into the show, I thought he was going to just explode. So I took him outside. You know, he was kind of a bit embarrassed because, you know, as a teenager, you know, often would have, you know, would be, because, you know, he was with his mum, you know, she had applied for him to go. So he's like, kind of like at his favorite band with his mum, who is literally a baker and the most archetypical baker you could imagine. If you can imagine a baker, you know, working from home in a probably late 40s, 50s, that's Beverly. She's awesome. But, you know, and that is one of the reasons why when we take someone to a show, we go with, you know, and yeah. I describe it as that we're like, you know, and I have an assistant that we're their PAs, because if I'd given her, say, 2 tickets in the post, she wouldn't have had a clue, you know. How do you go to a gig? How do you go to a heavy metal gig? What do I do? You know,
yeah.
She'd been to a couple of, you know, they live in a real sort of rural part of, or small part of, Wales. And so I don't even know what you asked me. No, you asked me how we
you got there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So, and that's one of the reasons why we go with everyone. And whether it's in a situation like that to metaphorically hold their hands because they've never been to a gig before, or someone's in a wheelchair, suddenly remembers they haven't had their meds, and instead of mum, dad, whatever, it's like, no, you stay there. We'll go get the water for you. You're here to enjoy yourself. Don't worry. I'll go find water, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, always take, you know, I always make a promise that I break. We always go to the merch stand, and the promise is in my head, Tom, just one item, just one item, just one item, just one item. Do you like that as well? You really like that? Oh, okay, you can have that as well.
Well, this shirt's going to look good on you.
I don't quite go that far. I let, you know, but once they're kind of going, oh, I'm not sure if I want that or that, I'm like, no. No. Yeah, okay, we'll get them both. Because, you know, I've been to gigs, and, you know, when I went when I was 15 to my first gig, and I wasn't allowed to, and, you know, going to the merch stand, you know, buying a t-shirt from the show, those things, some of the people that we've taken could have afforded, but we do it in a way. It doesn't matter if you can afford it. We want to honor and celebrate you, what you're going through, you know, sure. and that's whether it's, you know, that's a couple we took to Fenway 2 years ago, and Steph was, you know, dying of cancer, and she died a few months ago, you know, and it was, you know, and I mean, Jesus, their medical bills, you know, they came in the day before we flew them in from Florida. And it was beautiful because, like, a huge gang of their friends who some just can't, you know, just don't even, you know, Pearl Jam's not on their radar. But it was possibly one of the last times they were going to get together as a gang. So that this whole crew turned up and we, you know, and but it was like, you might have cancer. And it was also as much for her husband, even though she was the focus, because he's going through it too, you know. And, you know, and again, it was like, you know, it's all on us, the hotel, you know, the transport, you know, in that case, that was plane flights, you know, and we always have an artist create their own individual show poster, you know, there's always a little nuance to something, you know, whether a favorite lyric or favorite song or one girl we took to see, Bring Me the Horizon, and the poster was done, and there was this little, you know, sort of, there was this girl, you know, within the poster, she was about this big, but she dyed her hair blue, so, you know, there she was with blue hair inside her own poster, we say because you matter, and that's how we try and do it. We want that person who, you know, some people, you know, we've taken people who survived suicide attempts and what have you, and it might be the one day that they feel like they really are important, and that's you know, that's what it is.
I mean, it's just that's such a I admire the work that you put into it, because, you know, just being able to acquire tickets and acquire hotel rooms and go through all the travel logistics, it has to be incredibly difficult, and it seems like it's all worth it just to get to that whole package and experience there.
Yeah, and I mean, and you say about, I mean, tickets, and I just kind of like sometimes just follow my heart, you know, because if I'd thought about it logically, I'd never have done this. I did not have one contact in the music industry, not one.
Wow.
It's not like, you know, Jimmy Page is my granddad, and he went, okay, cool, I'll open every door for you, you know.
Right.
We still, even though I know the wife of someone whose husband is very involved with Pearl Jam, still don't get complimentary tickets.
Wow. You know,
it's like, yeah, you can buy them, you know, we'll give you... go to the right, you know, and I'd be given the link to go and get the special guest list ticket. So at least they're good tickets, you know.
Right.
I mean, now there's a handful of very loose contacts. It's not, you know, and I don't, you know, obviously this is a Pearl Jam thing. I don't want to meet Ed to become his mate. I mean, if I did and it was organic, that's cool. But actually, sure. I want just one person at a high enough level to kind of go, I get what these people do.
I know that Ed in London actually recognized you guys. So talk a little bit about that. Like, how did he find out about you guys?
I still don't know. And I do know somebody I could probably ask who may or may not have the answer. But what I know is it was, 160 miles, give or take, the odd couple of miles from here to there as a walk. And I started blistering on the first day. And, you know, I know tea tree is good for you. So I'd throw tea tree on. And then it would get worse. And I just thought, oh, the blisters are getting worse. And I'd just put more and more and more tea tree oil on, which I discover long after the event that actually all I was doing was tea tree burns your feet, you know, burns. So I was just on top of the blisters, I'd burnt my feet to hell. So, you know, I'm there to see my favorite band. It's the first thing. We've done this fundraising walk and it's exciting. Doors open. They're still sound checking, so you can't go into the arena bit. I'm with my girlfriend, who's now my fiance, who walked with me, and they were sound checking. Off he goes, and I sort of said, oh God, wouldn't that be cool if that was for us? And she just looked at me as if to say, yeah, you're completely insane. You know. Yeah, we had GAA tickets. Before the gig even started, I was like, Jesus, my feet. I have 10 minutes in, I'm like, I love this band, but I know they're going to play for the best part of 3 hours. Can you stop? Because I'm in so much pain. And then they finished the first set and came back, and Ned starts doing his chat. And by then, I was exhausted anyway from whatever it was, 80 days of walking, you know, plus the pain. And he starts talking about this organization called Give 'Em to Live. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I've heard of them. And I'm like, fuck, that's us. Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, that is me.
Honestly, yeah, that's exactly how it was. And my girlfriend was freaking out. I'm like, oh, in a way, I mean, it was awesome. But at the time, it was like, just please hurry up and stop. I'm in so much pain. I was looking around thinking, is there somewhere where there's a sofa I can sit on? Or you know, anything not to be on my feet anymore. But then, you know, I've watched the video since, and it's incredible, you know. And I mean, it was moving to watch after. At the time, it was just, yeah, not fun. Because it was the pain. I don't drink alcohol, so as far as I'm concerned, Ed, you know, still owes me a bottle of sparkling mineral water. but the bottle is in the office, which if I, you know, I, who, you know, which is kind of cool.
That is very cool.
I mean, I don't go and watch it often, but every now and again, it'll come up somewhere, or I'll send it to someone and I'll watch it, and it's a bit like, and what the bit that really moves me isn't that he, for however he found out, he didn't just go, oh, there's this organization Give 'Em to Live, they take people to gigs. He'd very obviously,
he knew your information,
and it wasn't, and really knew what he was talking about,
right. You know?
And that felt so honoring. And it's like, you know, I would love to meet him to say thank you. Not to be his mate, you know, but just to be able to say, do you know what? That meant the world, you know.
I did not know that you were at Brixton. So were you at night one or night two?
Night one.
You were at night one. Okay, we're doing night two, but still, night one, that's still right there. So, I mean, this was right in the middle of...
93,
July 13th, 93.
And I remember getting the Choices shirt, and I was working for my dad at the time, and I was wearing it, you know, the next day really happily, and tore it, not a huge tear, but tore it on a nail on the very first day I wore it. I was like, oh, no. But still carried on wearing it, lost it, was really disappointed, you know, and then it came out again, you know, and yeah, that was great. And it was just kind of, yeah, I mean, just like, holy shit, you know, I'm seeing Pearl Jam in Brixton in 93, and it's, you know, I mean, I don't remember an awful lot of it, you know, not drinking or anything, it's just a long time ago, but just like, hang on a minute, 93, that's a long time ago, yeah. You know?
Do you remember that they played songs from Verses that you hadn't heard before, or because they played a bunch? I think they played like Animal and Go, and this was very early, you know, a couple months before the album was released. So you got a couple of those leaked.
Yeah, 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 and it's all one of those kind of like, you know, and it's kind of, and I kind of like those moments, but then at the same time, it's like, yeah, but I really want to I really want a song that I know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we all know about, what's it called? Statcast. You know, I can look it up, which ones, you know, had, you know, that I got.
I think that was a 17 song show.
It was great. And I mean, and I love it. You never get a chance to see Pearl Jam in a venue, you know, unless they were doing for some funky reason, you know, or decided to do something weird and wonderful, like a week-long residency at Brixton just because it holds 3,000-4,000 and we want to do it different, you know.
Do you remember the crowd at all?
Okay, I'm going to be embarrassed myself. I did spend quite a lot of the gig chasing after a girl.
93 is normal.
Out until I was, yeah, it was great, and we got on, and we went on a date, and then she tells me she's from the Cayman Islands and she's moving back there, so they, you know,
oh. Win some, lose some.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I mean it was great, you know, and it was, yeah. My first Pearl Jam show, there's been one or two more since, and yeah, it was, it's kind of weird talking about it, actually, because it's, you know, I was, how old was I then? Ooh, 26, something like that. Wow. You know, so basically it's like half my lifetime. I'm 52, yeah, so half my lifetime I've been into one band. And others, but you know, it's kind of right. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. Well, you do a great job with everything you do, and I admire that you go out of your way to help those in need, just to put a little light in their life. And yeah, I can't wait, you know, one of these days to see you on tour and to get to meet these people and to hear more of these stories. It's just fantastic. And thank you for having this conversation with us today. And again, give everybody your info just for more to look into following you guys on social media and all that.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you for having me. You know, it's been fun. It's been, you know, it's been a pleasure. I always feel more awkward being the guest than the host, you know, but you've made it really, really easy. So I really appreciate that.
The next clip that I would like to share comes from an episode from May of 2022, right after the shows in Oakland took place. Back in 2020, one of the live experiences that he had promised was for a young boy named Reese Jones. Reese Jones was born with a GLUT1 deficiency, a rare genetic disorder that impairs brain metabolism. GLUT1 is responsible for the transport of glucose from the blood to the brain and is the main source of fuel for the brain. A shortage of glucose leads to impairment of brain function and growth. What Tom did and the rest of the Pearl Jam community did for Reese that day was nothing short of amazing. They put together a party for him and celebrated his life, because Reese mattered. What he went through his whole entire life and the challenges that he and his family had to battle through were more than deserving of a special moment like this. After the show, Tom and Reese spoke and sent us a little clip about what Reese's experience was like. He was able to get a signed poster from the band and have some really special moments to cherish for the rest of his life. Please take a listen.
Hi, I'm Tom from Given to Live, and last night we took an amazing young man, Reese, to see Pearl Jam in Oakland. And we're going to have a little chat right now and find out his experience. Hello, Reese.
Hey.
How you doing today?
Good.
Okay, so once upon a time, this whole journey started 27 months ago. What was it like to find out when we got in contact to say you're going to go and see Pearl Jam?
It was mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing?
Yeah.
Yeah? And then there's a whole pandemic thing happens, and you got to wait. What was all that waiting like?
It was pain just having to wait that whole time until the dates got re-announced.
Yeah, and then it was all systems go. And we got the show. It was yesterday, and we had a poster made for you. How was your poster and your T-shirt?
It was crazy.
It was crazy?
Yeah, overwhelming.
Yeah? Well, I mean, and I saw it overwhelming. I mean, we had the sort of event for you at Plank, and there was, 30-plus people there. That must have been pretty amazing for you, all these people wanting to come down and visit with you.
Yeah.
Yeah? And then you were signing autographs?
Yeah, I was signing posters.
Yeah? All right, I'm looking at you, and it's kind of like, hang on, I know that Eddie Vedder does this, but Reese is doing this. And there was a queue, wasn't there?
Yeah, and there was a line.
Yeah. What was it like to have a line of people to sort of sign their... the Given to Live poster that we did for you.
That was cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And how was the show?
It was amazing.
Yeah, what were the highlights? Not the lowlights, excuse the pun. What were the highlights for you? The actual show.
Well, getting the shout out from Eddie.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though he messed that up.
He did mess it up. Apparently I became your dad for a few minutes. Yeah. That was, yeah. Ed was not his best moment there, but he was having a tough night all around.
Yeah.
Yeah. What songs were your favorites from last night?
I don't know, probably like Immortality and Alive and like Mind Your Manners.
I tell you what, Immortality I think is my personal favorite. It's got lots of different, it came out at a time in my life when I was really struggling, and then a lot of the lyrics really speak to me, so that's cool. That's one of your favorites as well. Are you too bothered, because I know you wanted to answer the Clairvoyants, are you too bothered that wasn't playing?
No, it makes sense.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And we never know what we're going to get with the show.
Exactly.
And you had a pretty good night. Now, before the show, something happened that you weren't expecting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell them what happened?
I got a poster for me signed by the band.
Yeah, but there's a bit more to it than that, isn't there? It's like you got a personal delivery from...
Yeah, the person who delivered it was the manager of the band.
Mm-hmm. And then we kind of went out into a hallway and we opened stuff up, and there was T-shirts and what have you.
Yeah.
And then the last thing to come out was that poster.
Yeah, that was not expected.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And you seemed like you may have kind of been touched by that a little bit. Might have been a little excited.
Yeah.
Yeah? For me, doing what we do at Given to Live and seeing your reaction, I mean, it was just incredibly beautiful and incredibly moving. And you and your dad together and your mum.
Yeah.
You know, and what about, I mean, the actual words that they wrote to you, it wasn't just signed by their name. They took interest in you, haven't they?
Yeah.
What's that like to know that those guys, Ed, well, not Matt because he wasn't there, but, and Ed Stone, they all knew who you were.
That was just crazy because it's like they know who I am. I'm not just like a person in the crowd.
No, you weren't. You were Reese. Ed's message on it was beautiful, and I've seen I know they do some signposts but without the message, but you had flat out messages straight direct to you, and like you say, they knew who you were.
Yeah.
And they still know who you are today.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even though Ed might think I'm your dad for a minute there. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Is there, what was it like? Anything else that stands out, the whole thing? Because it's been, I know it's been pretty mind-blowing for you, overwhelming.
Yeah.
You'd never sleep. What time do you normally wake?
Like 8:30.
And your mum was just saying you've never slept till 10:30 in your life.
Yeah.
And that was what time, it took it out of you, didn't it?
Yeah.
fun, excitement, emotion. Yeah. Anything else you want to throw in? Say about the show or what happened, or Gims Alive, or, you know, anything?
No, it was just a fun time.
Just a fun time?
Yeah.
I think that's, you're understating there, aren't you? It was a bit more than just a fun time.
It was a great time.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Reese. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. It's really important that we celebrate these people in our community that have gone above and beyond to do something extremely special. Tom was the epitome of that. And again, if we can be half of what Tom was, our community, our world would be so much of a better place. I would like you all to keep his family and his fiance Iwa in your thoughts and keep Tom's memory alive. I'll leave you with one last clip from the 2018 London show where Ed gave him a shout out. Thank you all for listening.
But I just want to raise a toast. There's this couple here, or there's a group of you. It's something called Given to Live. Yeah. It's a small do-it-yourself group that without any connections and or knowing any musicians or anybody who worked with musicians, they just had an idea that they would take people who have a difficult time or they're struggling in their life in a way or two or three, and provide them with the gift of live music, and they would read some of the stories, and they would choose some people to go to certain bands or acts. And they make sure it's all covered for them, and they don't have to do anything but sit back and enjoy the ride. And you've been doing it for a bit now, and I'm so glad you've included us. And then on top of it, you also walked... How long to get here? You walked here? They walked from there to there? No, it was much longer, I read. I read something much more impressive. 160 kilometers, miles. I don't even want to drink this, I just want to give it to you. Will you see that this gets to them? They're thirsty. Well, it's incredibly moving. So we're going to dedicate this to you and yours. And it's about traveling. 1, 2.
things change, but the surrounding bullshit that has grown. And I know just what is gonna happen next.